Isaiah 25, we will read from verse 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. That is a response to the question of verse 13 we should have read. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 21, final verse. Just read at verse 1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now you will recognize that I want to link these three verses together concerning that statement of victory for our Lord Jesus and of victory for his people. The idea of God wiping away all tears from the eyes of his people in these three circumstances, each of them have the idea of victory. The Lord is linked with victory for his people. In Isaiah chapter 25, we have the Lord's return in glory, in the restoration of his earthly people. But the principle I wish you to notice is what we have in verse 9, and it is a people waiting for their Redeemer. And so I want to apply the principles of our expectation and of our hope of the Lord's return. First of all, I would like you to notice that in each of these passages, it is the cause for tears that is being dealt with. And dear brethren and sisters, while we part from the conference and go back to our home, and you'll settle into the saddle of your daily routine, one thing we bless God for, this conference has been a help to every one of us, to one degree or another. Thank God for the sanctifying effect of an open Bible. Bless God for the comfort of the fellowship of saints. How precious is the ministry of the Holy Spirit by the opening up by men of divine truth It is sanctifying to our minds, to our spirits, to the nourishment of our soul. And brethren, the capstone of all the blessings of God will be when we hear the shout and we rise away from earth to meet our beloved Redeemer. Face to face shall I behold Him. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him? I think one of the most humbling things to us who are believers today is the idea, the blessed fact, that we shall with our eyes gaze upon the lovely man at God's right hand. Oh, brethren, forever and ever there will be unveilings of His unfading glory and beauty. Let me notice with you in each of these passages that the cause for tears is different. In Isaiah chapter 25, you will notice that it is a persecuting world. The circumstances of life in relation to the times of testing and the mockery of the world and the consequent testings of the faith of God's people is going to erupt into victory in a moment when the Lord shall come. There's poverty spoken of. There is the distress, the storm, the heat, the blast against the wall, the noise, and the shadow. And in a moment, all those evidences of testing, they have produced tears. And God's earthly people will be reduced to terrible weeping. And there are weeping hearts at conferences. Every conference finds weeping hearts. Fathers that weep over wayward sons. Mothers whose hearts grieve as with a pierced sword over a daughter for whom she had great hopes for God. There are those that weep over parents that are yet in their sins. There are other forms of heartbreak. There are weepings of many, many sorts. You may read of the various kinds of tears, but my thought today is, brethren, it's not only going to be a release from tears, it's going to be tears turned into victory when our Lord Jesus comes. The time of testing and the time of education, the time when the people of God are being, as my brethren have brought before us today, in seeking to mold us, seeking to teach us, to discipline us, it will break forth into victory. And God Himself, why I see a silent, unseen hand behind the scenes. The agent has been earthly, all right, human. Tears were caused by humans, by circumstances, by educational processes. But behind it is the hand of God. And in a moment, God will turn the education into the graduation. And that's what's in this passage. Here are people who will erupt in the praise. This is the God that we have waited for. There will be no regrets for the tears that are past. There will be no disappointment relative to the tears that are past. And God Himself will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Take it in its dual sense, brethren, as we turn very quickly to the next passages. There are two things. The hand of God outstretched to His people, and the hand of God outstretched to the circumstances that caused the tears. Ah, what a victory that will be for us, for every believer from the youngest saint to the oldest believer, to those who are in days of stress that seem to be ceaseless, and to those who have just now perhaps been brought into this valley of tears, the hand of God will be outstretched to wipe away from that face the very tears that the education caused. God will wipe away the cause forever and ever. Victory is ours, beloved. I do not say that thoughtlessly. We are a people, while unrecognized for the fullness of the hope that God has for us presently. God never intended the world to accept the church in a popular way. That was never in divine purposes. Don't ever expect it. But dear brethren, one thing is absolutely assured. We are linked with the victor. Because we are linked with the victor Himself. In the second passage, in the first passage, we find that there will be no tears at the rapture. Now you can apply that. I know some minds are going immediately to the judgment seat of Christ. No problem, brother. There won't be any tears there. And let me say to you, if there are any, there will be tears of joy. There will be tears of joy that we're done forever with the flesh. We're finished forever with the world. And we are finished forever with the temptations of the wicked one. There will not be tears of regret at the judgment seat of Christ. It will be unnecessary, for we shall be changed. And God will have wiped away the cause of tears upon our faces forever. In the second one, you will notice that there are no tears in the unclothed state. Here we find a people and their souls are under the altar. They are already in heaven. There are believers that have gone before, and we miss them. Some of them have been anchored to the assembly, anchors to the work of God, and they're gone. There are widows here today, and there are widowers here today, and their partners are gone, and there's a vacancy that no one can ever fill, cannot be replaced. That is very evident, very expected. But dear brethren and sisters, let us comfort our own souls. Let us look towards the throne to realize theirs is a condition in which there can be no tears. But the cause of fear in the second passage is the hatefulness of the world. It's the idea of what the world laid upon them because of their testimony. Is it possible there are believers here today and because of your testimony you have suffered? You know, that's something, that's a price I never had to pay. My dear mother and father, still living, raised me in the Assembly Sunday School and in the fear of God, and I thank God for them each day that I remember them before the throne. But some of you here today have had to pay that price. And may I say to you kindly, dear younger believer, it is never intended to reduce God's people that God allows those persecutions and testings in their lives. Never intended to reduce you. It is intended to bring out the qualities of the faith that you confess in Christ. That's the purpose of them, to show the value of that faith in Christ. And here we find those who have laid down their life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're now in heaven, and the cause of tears is forever wiped away. Last evening when we were with the young folk, I tried to speak to them just a little, and I'm going to just mention the fact here again without going into any details. But one thing that the Lord Jesus is looking for today is men and women who are willing to die for Him. You know, dear young men and women, we're living in a world that has no backbone, stands for nothing, and falls for anything. And what God's looking for is men that will stand up and die for something. It almost seems as though, at times though, that we see men and that they're willing to give their life for a laugh or a thrill. But oh, to see young men and women and older dear believers who are willing to lay down their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have here. They wept in a fire. They wept while the water rose up to their neck, tied to a stake in a rising tide. A group of young women gathered in an open theater, and they released the lions on them. And there stood those young women. What did they do? Panic and screech and tear their hair and run here and there? Not at all. They clung together and they raised their voice to sing to the Lord Jesus Christ, while the lions leaped upon them and tore the limbs from their bodies. They died. Cause for tears. God, give us young men that are willing to die. And young women that are willing to lay down their life. Well, you say we won't be called to be a martyr. Not likely, but oh, I want to tell you, you can give the rest of your life to doing the utmost for the praise and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the time comes, when the Lord shall return, and we're home safely in glory, those tears will be weighed out in gold for all eternity. A cause for tears is wiped away. Won't it be a tender scene when God Himself shall reach to the face of that young woman that died in the theater yonder under the jaw of a lion? Wipe that tear away. It's the idea of God's own
personal appreciation of the cause of the tears in the life of those folks.
Ah, dear young man, be not afraid of the tear for Christ. Be not afraid of the pain for the Lord Jesus. Be not afraid of the snub of the world for the Lord Jesus. Lay your life down for Him, for the day will come when His own hand will wipe away that tear. In the last one, as we close, in chapter 21, we have that the fact there will be no tears in the eternal state. And in the first part of chapter 21 of the Revelation, and in verse 4, we read those words, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The eternal state of the believer, no more tears. Aye, to think that for all eternity, the curse will be lifted. Forever gone. Victory! There is victory in the first passage for awaiting people, waiting in the anxieties of their testings and trials. And that will be consummated in victory. Tears forever gone. The cause of them forever history. In the second one, we find the people who have laid down their blood for the Lord Jesus Christ. Their life has been put on the line for the man that they love. Oh God, give unto us a reality of character and men of backbone in relation to divine things, in testimony in the gospel, in relation to testimony and its simplicity for God in the assembly. Young men that will live and die for God's assembly. Young women that would sooner die than not obey divine truth. That's what God is looking for. Yes, tears will be the result, but we will burst into victory, beloved, and stand in His presence, and every tear will be worth it all when we look upon His wondrous face, and for all eternity, we will be forever done with the cause for groaning, the cause for dying, the cause for crying. This has to do with the hurts now. This is the physical aspect of it. There's pain, there's death, there's crying. That will be forever. Oh, the great victory that lies before us. Jesus is coming again. The moment that He steps to the air, we will be able to exult with the people of Isaiah 25 in their language. This is the God that we have waited for. This is Him who will save us. Oh, the day of glory is about to dawn. Tears will be wiped away. Lives spent for Christ will be rewarded. And for all eternity, He sums up that glorious scene in Revelation chapter 21, in the passage in the 22nd chapter, and we read these words, they shall see His face, and they shall serve Him forever. God help us to go in for it, brethren. The tears now are temporary. They are bitter, but they are temporary. And the blessed pierced hand of the man of Calvary, the man of the throne, will be stretched forth to every believer to wipe away the tear, to take away the cause, and to give the reward that is coming to every saint, that we may compliment Him forever and forever. No tears at the rapture, no tears in the unclothed state, no tears forever for those who are linked with our Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to live for Christ. Help us to die for Him. And help us to wait for Him. As we look up and go away from this confidence, comfort echoing in our soul, the language of beloved John, come, Lord Jesus. Brethren, that's not only coming to the air. That's the longing of John after he sees all the portraits of the Lord Jesus in His unveiled glory that is yet to be revealed on earth and in the ages to come when Christ will stand in His glory. John says, come. Come into Your glory, blessed Lord. May it be the echo of our hearts. We lift our hearts to heaven. Say, come, Lord Jesus. God preserve us. Help us to live in the good of it, that we might see Jesus.